to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast, sponsored by Beer 52. Head to beer52.com/beerfridge. 8 craft beers, award winning Ferment magazine, and that all important snackaroo. Head to beer52.com/beerfridge. And also sponsored by This Week in Craft.beer. Head to thisweekincraft.beer, sign up to their weekly newsletter, get all the new craft beer news, and get the new beers list as well, thisweekincraft.beer. And make sure you head over to our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter pages, like, follow, and share. Much appreciated. As always, my name is Gavin Baxter. I've got Mark Dixon, Scott McMillan, and Callum Muir. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
New intro lasted long, eh?
Yep. But by the way, resounding success. I was really pleased with the performance.
Good. Really, really good. Yes, you're right, Scott. And this week, we are joined by Eric Thompson from Bowden Brewery, based in Glasgow. Good evening, mate. How you doing?
Hello, guys. How are you doing? That was outstanding. That was... Loved it.
Trash.
Loved it. Absolute train wreck to start the podcast.
Oh, goodness me, that was a good start, wasn't it? Gee whiz. Right, we'll start off as we normally do in the podcast, go around the virtual table and find out what we're drinking this evening. Marky boy, you can start us off. Like, have a rest.
Well, I next route to Glasgow at the weekend, and Eric was kind enough to supply me with a nice box full of his gear. That sounds really dodgy. Mm-hmm. His gear. And I have started with a one-man band, the New England IPA. 6% number, and I basically picked this one up first because it's got my good friend Nelson Sauvin in there, which, as everybody else knows, is like the hop that it crops up, and I basically go hunting and pick anything up. It's quite funky, mate. I've got to admit, like, it's not what I expected when I read the sort of description of it, but it's really like fresh and. Like, you really do get the flavour of the hops coming through. On there it says slightly sweet with a bitter finish, and it's not overly bitter for how I like a proper bitter, but it's like, it's so flavoursome. Like, I'm pretty impressed. I've only had like 2-3 mouthfuls, to be honest with you, but yeah, it's quality.
Aye, well, that's all the late edition hops going in there, all that Nelson or Sauvin, I'm not quite sure how it's pronounced, but it's pretty skunky, and it does give it that sort of like overly like white wine sort of aroma, maybe something like that to it. And I really enjoy it myself. It's the only one that I do that has lactose in it. Everything else is vegan in my core range, and I wanted something with a wee bit more fuller body, you know, just something to carry all them hops, them late edition hops.
Skunky is the right word.
You make up words is what you do.
I tend to make up words, and it usually gives the brewer a bit of a hissy fit when we say something's funky or the rest of it. But skunky, like, it's the hops, isn't it? They are just sort of kind of weird and wonderful, and like, it's like that dry white wine skunkiness. Okay, I'll like that.
From Mark's friend Nelson over to Callum, what are you on, my man?
I've started with the Vienna something, the Vienna Lager. So thanks very much for sending the beers through. And this is a lovely, nice light beer to start me off after a hard day. It's really malty and sweet, which is nice. It's not very often I actually enjoy a lager, but it's really nice, quite very quaffable. It's not too bitter, which I like also. But you definitely do get that wee sweetness there, and it's a delight to drink. Really nice.
Okay, thanks.
Sounds good. Sorry, Eric, carry on, mate.
No, I was just going to say, that sweetness there. That's what I like about that. You know, a good lager, especially something that's further, you know, the further east you go, the slightly darker and sweeter it gets as well. And that's where I gravitate to. When I go to the bar and I see a couple of lagers, I would definitely go for a Vienna or something like that, you know, for check. Aye.
Definitely. Finish. Go for it, Scott.
Well, I've picked up first one out of the box, so thanks very much again. I've got the first, which is the Hopfenweiss, which perfect for Oktoberfest. it's Nelson again and Saz. It's the darkest, probably the darkest kind of wheat beer I've tried, and it's superb. It really brings out the spice. You definitely get the coriander and bags of the orange peel in there, which is what you're looking for. It's no overly wheaty either, so I know that the other guys, wheat beer's not really their thing. Like if you were to put an Erdinger in front of them, they would run away. It's not that kind of wheat beer. It brings out the spice. You've got the coriander and the fruit there as up front, and then a wee bit of that kind of wheatiness just for body. But the darker malts which are in there really kind of set it off. It's a really kind of autumnal drink, if you like. It's perfect for the time of year, just as things are starting to get cooler and stuff as well. It's great. Tremendous.
Cheers, man. Thanks very much. That was the first beer that I made in the unit, the brewery as it is now, hence the name. And it's something that I brewed a few times before, and I think it can be more hoppy. I think it can always be more hoppy. But I like where it's sitting just now. The recipe's in a good place.
What, just when I seen him pour it, what made you go like with the darker malts and stuff? You tend to find with the wheat beers, they are like a lighter colour and stuff. What made you go with the darker?
Yeah, I think that's more the try to build up those flavours. Like you're saying there, Scott, it was, want the spices there, and I think to balance that out a wee bit, you want the darker malts just to carry that, but the body is just coming from, I think it's about 15% wheat in there or something like that. It's not a huge amount. So it's just trying to give that balance, let everything sort of, have a level playing field and just try to get a nice balanced beer.
And finishes off, Eric, what are you drinking, my friend?
I'm also on the Vienna something, I will be on to probably a one-man band in a wee minute, I think.
Sounds good, mate.
Sounds...
Sounds good, mate. Right, as I mentioned, we've got Eric here from Bowden Brew. We're going to get in depth and find out how it all began. Before we do that, going to give a shout out to Gollum Hogan, one of the listeners, for a lovely mention on Untappd. Appreciate that. We're helping him make his beer choices, and he picked up the cone from Top Out. So appreciate the wee share there. If you're drinking one of the beers that we've mentioned before, feel free to tag us on. We really appreciate you sharing those and just seeing if we actually make any sense. It's also nice to know that people are listening as well. So definitely. We appreciate that. Cheers for that, mate. Really appreciate that. Right, let's find out more about Bowden. Eric, how did it all start, mate?
Bowden itself started about a year ago. I had bought far too much home brewing equipment, and my wife basically kicked me out of the house. So that, it's not a very, there's no great vision to it or anything. It was more of a product of, needing space to do something, thinking, actually, people have said my beer's all right. I'll try it for a while and see how it goes commercially. And that was about a year ago, and I have not really looked back. I mean, it is an evening and part-time brewery. I work full-time as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a case of juggling that with a full-time job as well. So hopefully the brewing will become the full-time thing. Mm-hmm. Couple of years down the road, and I can do away with the 9 to 5, aye.
That's Callum, there you go.
That's me. I've just started up. We've done one homebrew, and we've got the ingredients to make a second. That'll be happening soon. So yeah, I've definitely got the bug.
How many bars have we approached then?
None yet. We'll get yet. We'll get there, because it was a weird kind of. It wasn't an East Coast, it wasn't a West Coast NIPA. It was like somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm. We're still going to call it the West Lothian New England IPA. I think.
Love
it. Actually, that's a weird thing when I was coming through, and that was a bad part on my part, because I've still got a bottle or two. I should have brought you one.
You could have brought it through.
So what kind of kit did you? What kind of kit did you start off on then?
The first thing, as most home brewers do, was just a tin. you know, the tin, and you pour it in, and you put boiling water in the top, and then some cold water and some yeast, and that was it. Actually, the first time I done home brewing was when my wife and I moved to France. And there was no beer. You couldn't, I mean, the supermarkets had those wee stubbies, you know, the Pelfours that you would get, or the odd 1664 or that kind of thing. Right. It was really cider around that way. It was in Bordeaux, so it was cider, wine, and then beer was like the sort of, you know, the middle child, the weird one that nobody sort of deals with. So it was just a case of trying to serve my own taste for beer. And that's how that started. And then, you know, gradually you start getting the bug, as Callum said there, and you become more adventurous, and then you buy a bigger kit, and then you end up, you know, FedEx and stuff from America, you know, hops and things like that, and then Holland, they've got really good yeast at the minute, right? That's brilliant science, you know. And all the way up to where I'm at now, which is not a very big kit for a commercial brewery. I brew on a 65 liter kit, so that's half a barrel, you know, a hectolitre almost, so 60 litres-ish. So I have to do two back-to-back brews to fill one of my fermenters. It's a long day.
Aye.
9 or 10 hours to get about, I don't know, 40 cases of beer.
Oh, wow. And how is it, the reception so far? Because I know you've had beers in the wee beer shop, Bottle Drop, and bars around Glasgow. How has the reception been towards them so far?
Pretty positive. I mean, it's a tough market because obviously Glasgow has quite a lot of small wee breweries. It's a really close knit community as well. So that's the thing. Everybody, you know, helps each other out, and you know, are good pals in that. So whenever there's a festival to be done, although this year obviously has been a bit of a kick in the ghoulies for that one. There's been we had the Barra's Beer Bash a couple of weeks ago, which was not really a sort of beer festival per se. You know, just you sit down at the table and it's still like being in a pub. But it was good. I mean, they had, I think, about 4 or 5 of my beers out of the 7 that I do. So that was great. And, everyone's sort of been quite on board to get another wee brewery, another wee Glasgow brewery on the go.
No, defo. The one thing that's quite interesting for me personally, like you mentioned, you do kind of 4 or 5 beers, and you mentioned the volume of equipment you've got. How do you find it juggling brewing with the guys? So like, okay, you've got your Vienna subs out, then you go, all right, I need to do a one-man band.
It's a case of always having to just have as much stock as possible, because I can only do a wee tiny volume at any one time. If somebody, you know, gives me a call, whoever it happens to be, if it's, you know, wee beer shop or Marchtown or wherever, you know, 5 or 6 cases, that's half my stock gone. So I've really got to be ahead of the game. I will be upgrading to a larger kit shortly, so I'll probably no longer be the smallest commercial brewery in Glasgow. I don't know, or in Scotland maybe, I don't know. So I'll be able to brew once in a day, which will be quite nice. It'll be a novel thing just to brew the once in a day.
So what will that cut your hours down to? So you're at 9 or 10 hours just now. What will that cut your shift to on the weekend?
So that'll be a 6-hour day then. That'll be a 6-hour day.
Not too bad.
You know, it's taking 50% off, you know, so, you know, you would like to be half, but you still get to heat all the water up and cool it all down, and you know, so it's, that takes up the time.
So what you're saying is we've got some equipment available.
Well, I was saying to Mark there when he was a rover, you know, I'm selling you.
Don't look at his face, look at him.
Listen, when we did our, I've got a 35 litre kettle, so we did a 20 litre brew. And the only place in my house that I could put it was in the kitchen cupboard, and my wife was just doing her thing. She hates beer, and I've tried and tried and tried to get her to try lots of different things, but we've got this fermentation bucket in the cupboard, and I'm dry hopping, and I think the cupboard's amazing. Like, the cupboard's just stinking of hops. It's great. Every time she goes in for her jacket in the morning, she's like, oh, that's fucking covered stinking.
It's the reef.
If I even float the idea of doubling the size of my kit, then I think there's a divorce on the card. Like, so.
Just day in the caravan.
It's like Breaking Bad stuff.
Did get that. I did. My mom and dad have got a motorhome and did kind of bring that subject up the other day. He says it would just be, he says it would be like Walter White, but with beer. It's like, right, okay. The same with the, based on the rules of the day, obviously, where there's been a few, and it's no a laugh, but if you don't, I think at this stage, I think you would cry. Aye. And what we're saying, I got about 3 messages through off my mates that stay through the West saying, right, start a brewery, because we're apparently allowed to be there. So if we're allowed, just open my tap room in the back garden and we're allowed to congregate there. As long as it's not somebody's house, you're all right.
Right, Carl, your caravan's in a tap room.
The portable
mobile
tap room.
Mobile tap room.
You can go around, pick everybody up in the park.
Wherever the rules are least restrictive, that's where we're going. Unreal.
Sounds like a good idea. With the gas. Carl.
You were saying, Eric, that before, if you were gravitating for a sort of lager or something like that, that you're heading east, you know, sort of Eastern Europe style beer. So where does that sort of influence come? Because I've just opened the Checkmate Bohemian Style Pilsner with Himalayan salt and bilberries. I'm not going to pretend that I know what a bilberry is, so you're maybe going to need to explain that. But the first mouthful is really interesting. It's super flavoursome, getting quite a lot of sweetness. And a nice wee malty kick also, and again 4.5%, perfectly sessionable, and it's really, really nice. And that also has
wee and a malt in it too, so that gives it that sweetness as well.
But right, okay. And we've spoken to a lot of breweries, and a lot of breweries pride themselves on their pilsner, trying to get a beer that of that style that stands out is quite a challenge. So, you know, that's kind of 3 or 4 questions rolled into one, so you can choose which one to answer. I suppose
you can't hide with a pilsner. That's the thing. There's very little to it. There's nothing to it. You've got to get your mash temps right. You've got to get your fermentation temps right. You've got to get your pitching rates correct. All those things all rolled into one. Hopefully, you get a really flavoursome, juicy, lovely, fresh pilsner. I would say that's a killer beer sort of one as well, because I don't filter that one really at all. So that's all just naturally carbonated as well. So I think that's what gives it that light sort of fizziness on there. That's something that you would find on the continent, as they would do that in the tank. They would close the taps. They would close all the valves off just at the very end of the fermentation, and it would naturally carbonate.
It just gets
fired into the bottle. I do all my conditioning in the tanks as well, so it helps. I don't have to then transfer it and then bottle condition and that sort of thing. So it saves a wee bit of time, but that's still a 6 to 8 week pilsner there. They do take a wee bit of time. I take my time because I don't filter them. I don't use finings. So it's all as natural as it possibly can be. I mean, some finings are just, what do you call it? Isinglass and things like that. So it's not chemicals, but I like to make it as natural as possible.
And where does this sort of Eastern European influence come from then? What is that, just a style of beer that you like? Or?
Well, my wife and myself have travelled there, on holiday quite a few times, been to Slovenia, been to Czech Republic, been to Croatia, Northern Italy as well, and all over that sort of region, Hungary too, and just they have maltier beers there. They drink more beer than anything else, so if it's good enough for the people for them, the highest head per population, then they must have something right.
Yeah.
That's
very true. Well, to answer your second question as well, the Barberries, the Bilberries, they were what people used before citrus was introduced to like the Middle East and North Africa and stuff. So it's basically a wee tiny berry from a tree that's kind of like a lemon. Each wee one is like a wee lemon pop.
Right.
Sour and sharp.
It's tremendous. It's really nice.
I just happened to be walking in one of our local supermarkets. It's called the House of Shea, and it's like a Middle Eastern supermarket. And we're just walking about, and I was like, what are they? bright reds, like cranberries almost, man. Really shiny. I was like, I want to have a shot of that, and I'm going to put that in a beer. Yeah.
And I suppose that's the beauty of brewing in such a small kit, that you can just see something like that and think, aye, fuck it, I'm going to try that. You know.
Aye. There's virtually no risk. It's not like I'm doing a, you know, 100,000 liter thing or whatever. It's just one barrel. So you know, if it's not quite right, it's not the end of the world. I can drink it myself.
Yeah, it's just home beer.
Can I just jump back on to the one man band with the? Obviously, I'm basically finished up. I'm kind of savouring it a little bit because it is like the warmer it's got, but you really do get that. Like kind of the funkiness of the hops coming through. Did you, obviously, they've got one, was that four hops in there? Did you dry hop like all four of the hops, or did you dry hop a couple of? Oh, you're shaking your head, so.
Yeah, just.
Which hops did you dry hop with then? Let's go with that.
Just dry hopped with the Nugget. It was Nugget. Which a lot of people, I don't know, it's not popular. Hop, but I use it because it's a dual hop, so it means I don't have to have, you know, 10 or 12 different hops in the brewery. I can have dual hops there, so that's in the start of the boil, and it's also in dry hopping. And
cool. That's quite interesting, because I've got Nelson's the one I've grabbed for our brew coming up, and I've got some other, I'm trying to pair it up with something again, and I was just when I seen that, I was like, I wonder what you dry hopped with. Thought so.
You're trying to steal ideas. That's what you're 100%. Trying to do.
Absolutely.
This is really, really weird. And Miguel, you've got one coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got one to have. I've just opened the I'm looking at the wrong bottle. That's how good it is. The Pale IPA. I've just opened that. So that's banging at 6.5%. So I'll talk about that in a little bit once I've had a few more mouthfuls.
That's a bit of a banger. Like that.
Well, that's it's really funky because it is really quite winey, and like when you say that, and that's I quite like the flavour of it. So I know you're going to drink it next, Eric, but it'd be quite interesting to see what old or expert in Miguel has to say.
Go for it, mate. No, don't worry, mate.
No, just go for it.
Go. We can pause. We can edit. Don't worry, mate.
It's all right. We'll get the episode of Cribs later. You can take us to the fridge.
And this is where the magic happens.
Oh, we forgot to tell them that it's the Beer Fridge Podcast. You've got to take us to your actual fridge. Sure.
Take us to the fridge.
Have either of you two got this Pilsner?
Yes.
I have the Vienna.
The Pilsner is awesome.
Is it?
Aye.
Looking forward to it. Right, the one thing I 100% want to ask you, Eric, is, and I'm really interested in this with all brews we have on the podcast. Where do you get the names from? Like, where do you pick them? Is it just like things you've seen or silly little bits you've heard?
Exactly that. It's just thoughts. When I have a whiteboard in the brewery there, and when I'm listening to tunes or whatever, I just have, you know, you're in thought and stuff, and I scribble stuff down. And usually it takes about two or three sort of iterations before it gets to the actual, you know, the actual end name. But one of the ones that came up as an idea and became like the name straight away was One Man Band, because it's just been. It's just me or my Todd in the place, you know, doing everything. So I thought that was quite an appropriate name for a beer, you know.
100%. The reason I asked it, because one of the beers you had out was called Rye Y Cherry I.
the predecessor to that was just a straight up double rye IPA called Rye Rye Double I. Rye Rye Double I. And so I was doing a beer for the Barra's Beer Bash as a festival exclusive. And I remember a year or two ago, my wife was she'd made some rye, toasted some rye bread, and we've got some cherry trees in the garden, and she'd made jam out of it. And she sort of had cherry jam on rye bread, and that's a total just out the, you know, the back of your mind. You're like, oh, I remember that time. That would be brilliant. Let's try cherries in a double rye IPA. So there we go. So.
Do you find with those names when you take them to, like you said, the beer festival in Glasgow and stuff, because obviously there's a Glaswegian or a Scottish kind of slang references, and do you get a really good response from that?
Yeah, people relate to it really. Well, it's colloquial, isn't it? It's like it's your language,
its own field sobriety test as well. If you can say it, you can drink it.
Absolutely.
Whenever you stop being able to say it, that's you cut off.
I've only had the one and I'm struggling, so I suppose.
What are you moving
on
to?
I'm saving my double rye to the end.
Like, you are.
If you're going to do it, you've got to say it right. You've got to be like rye, rye, double eye.
What you got, Delk?
I'm about to open that. I was debating because Callum had mentioned the Pilsner. But,
well, look, mate, we've spoken at length about how flavours of one can impact the other. So I would open the Pilsner. I would have the Pilsner first, and then let the double IPA spoil the taste of the Pilsner.
There you go. There's a pro. One thing I want to ask you, Eric, with regards to like bottling and stuff, like obviously one man, you're a one man band. How do you what processing would you do for that?
So I do all my conditioning in the fermentation tank, so everything is ready to go pretty much into the bottle at that point. So it's everything at my scale is bespoke. It's made by me for the job. There's nobody selling stuff at that size. So it's a counter pressure bottle filling system that I've basically made out of an old bench capper. With all the associated pipes and bits and bobs and that sort of thing. It's basically from the tank directly to the bottle, less than about, 20 seconds to fill the bottle. It's cap, boom, in the box. But then I like to condition for at least a couple of days before I let it leave the brewery anyway, just to settle. Aye, quite right. Aye, so that's it. And then, well, because it's cold when it goes in, I can't even label on the same day, so I've got to wait a couple of days anyway to label it. So there is a wee bit of time there between it coming out of the tank and you getting it in your face.
is labelling the most tedious task?
It's probably I was going to say the most soul destroying.
If you could just get away with a pen writing beer.
Well, the thing is, whenever MD ever comes round, which is not very often in this climate, but when I'm like my wife or that, it's like, oh, by the way, I've got 4 or 5 boxes. What was it?
I was going to say,
quickly label them up. That'd be ace. Thanks very much.
Does anybody fancy coming to see Glasgow's smallest commercial brewery and get their hands dirty? Try it.
Volunteer
for a bit. What did you try? What did you get today? Well, we never really got today much else, but we labelled about 600 bottles. It was like you had kept them just for the tour weekend. Tour last 5 minutes and we'll get an hour and a half worth of labelling out. He's there, guys. Thanks very much.
Kept them from the tour.
Once all this COVID fucks off, if you let us come into your room, we'll do a shift labelling for you.
Aye, perfect. I mean, you can come and label for me and I'll give you a whole bunch of beer. That's a great deal.
Free labour. Delk, you've just got the Pilsner open.
I know, I've been sitting staring at it while you've been blathering, to be honest with you, because it's quite majestic in the old glass here to become like I don't know if you'll be able to see this coming through, but
well, the audio listeners will only be able to, but aye.
Well, tough tits on the audio. But it's just like Callum said, I can't remember the last time I had like a lager pilsner. I'm just watching it sort of dance in the glass, and it's sitting here and it's keeping its head no problem. Like as I say, lovely colour, but just it's kind of like fruity And
it's the citrus. It's that's what you know. Once you when you said that about the bilberry being like lemon, it totally makes sense.
It you also get that helps when you taste it. That kind of. Aye, it helps dry it out a wee bit as well, so it's got that aye. Sharpness to it. So you're like, oh, I'll have another wee swally. Just oh, on you go. And start,
it is that dryness, but it is like it's got a bit of mouthfeel to it as well. Until like you know, it's not just like watery kind of like it's not piss water. That's just
probably probably because it's not filtered. I mean, there is a filter in there, but it lets the majority of the yeast and all the proteins through. It doesn't strip all that away. Mm. So it settles in the bottle a wee bit, and it's not the most clear thing you'll ever see. And a lot of people think, clarity is a quality in beer, but sometimes, you know, it does strip a wee bit of flavour out. So
under the light. When he's talking about the clarity, you know...
Straight under the
light
bulb, boys. There we go. Look,
super clear.
You're a funny. But it is really it's really sessionable, and for a lager, a pilsner, that's exactly what you're looking for. You don't want something that's going to blow your face off. Mm-hmm. You know, you want that. For me, I want that in a proper hoppy. Double whatever it is, if it's a stout or IPA or something like that. But this is just, it's fresh, really easy to drink. And for people that are not big craft beer drinkers, if you want to put it that way, this would be a total entry into something that's not commercial, pissy lager, put it that way. And it's really, really tasty, mate. Good work.
Well, you've got fucking Mark certification, so you've won.
We may as well just stop the podcast.
May as well just fucking stop there. Scott.
Mark works for SIBA. Mark works for SIBA, so that's fine.
Gilroy, are you switched over, mate?
Yes, I have. So I'm on the Simcoe Lights Pale IPA. It's a cracking bottle art as well. I'm assuming that's the Bendy Bridge.
It's a bridge just at Dalmarnock, the new bridge for the Commonwealth Games. Well, I'll say new now, that's about 6 years old.
No, but, that's old.
Looking good. Vegan friendly again, unfiltered dry hop pale ale. It's got Simcoe and Sriracha Ace. Which is a hop I've never really... I think I've maybe had it once. Mm-hmm. But it's... What kind of flavour should I be looking for that hop? What is that adding?
Well, it depends on who you ask. It's one of these things, you know, asparagus can be... Or no, that's the wrong thing. Marmite, people love it and hate it and that sort of thing. Speaking to Pete at Hidden Lane Brewery the other week, and that was over at the Barris Beer Bash, and he was saying... things like pine and sort of oily sort of notes and things. And I'm going, well, I get bubblegum and blueberries. So it really does.
It does have quite a fruity kind of...
Yeah, I think
it gets... it's quite fruity.
Bubblegummy sort of flavour. That's how I can describe it. That's how it comes across to me. And I use that again as a Whirlpool edition. So that's just it should all flavour, no bitterness from that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean a Whirlpool edition? Wait, what does that mean?
Sorry, so that's after the flame goes out, essentially. You switch the off and, you bring it down to a certain temperature and you just let all the wort circulate for, however many minutes.
However long, right.
Yeah, and then you crash that. To pitch and temperature and transfer it over to the fermentation.
So that's what we did with ours. It's just obviously we don't know the lingo. But that's what we did. We used it was all Simcoe, wasn't it? We had we'd Simcoe for Barron, and then we added more at flame out and then more dry hopping. So it's good to get that sort of terminology. So if you're reading recipes, sometimes they can be a bit, I don't understand what's going on. But
There's a lot of, you know, like old English and German words and things like that as well. And you're just like, what?
So, mate, what you got planned? What are you kind of working on? What's going on in the factory? You want to try kind of brew next? And what mad ideas have you got?
There's always loads of mad ideas. I'm going to do a wee test batch of a hard seltzer, just sugar water with a bit of, I'm growing right next to me some in the house here, lemongrass and ginger. So I'm going to put that in a hard seltzer and see how that turns out. I mean, I've never tried one, so I don't even know what to expect. So that's just a, you know, a wee side project. Yeah. And I'll be doing another Rye Wye Cherry Eye because the reception was pretty special. So I'm going to get stuck more into that and maybe put that in sharing bottles for, you know, for over the festive period and that kind of thing as well.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a good idea. The thing that's really good with your bottles as well, sorry to jump in there, you've got, they're 500ml bottles as well, so they're no wee stubbies or anything. They're big ass bottles.
Yeah, it's probably due to the way that I like to drink beer. I like to have a beer and it be with me for, you know, a wee while. You know, sometimes a smaller can of 330 or 440 can just disappear a wee bit too much. I mean, I wouldn't put, you know, a quadruple Belgian, you know, Trappist beer in 500 mils because that's maybe a wee bit too much. But yes, it's, you know, the way I've sort of always drank beer from, you know, always been, well, in and around the pint and then living in France, everything other than those wee pelfers.
Aye. I think the thing that I find really interesting and really intriguing with the, obviously, from what you've been saying, the beers that you're making are things that you're physically growing in your own home and the things that you want to drink. Granted, most breweries we've had on are saying they're brewing things that they want to drink, but the fact that you're growing the stuff and using your own ingredients that you grow is absolutely awesome. Granted, obviously, you're doing that probably because you're not at a massive commercial size, and you've got that flexibility to grow your own stuff and then do what you want, but it's really good.
Yeah, I think if I was to be any bigger and try and do a lemongrass addition to any of my beers, I would need a greenhouse that's about six times bigger than my
exactly.
Yeah, it does give flexibility, and it means that you can be sometimes a bit more creative as well. You know, you can just fire that in.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's not being creative, but yeah, it's just like, you know, experimenting, just on you go.
Well, for obviously the three guys there up all together near Edinburgh, and I'm like, just throw it in, just throw anything in, just throw fucking everything in the mash. Who cares? Who fucking cares? Just throw it in. Tell us about your involvement with the Tall Cross Park allotment.
I approached them just after I secured the unit down. So that unit's in East End of Glasgow. It's right next to Parkhead and the Velodrome. So I was looking for some way to not have to send any of my, you know, raw materials, spent grain and hops to landfill, if at all possible. Approached quite a few places and they were keen, but it was a case of, you know, you've got to be there at a certain time on a certain day, and that didn't really work for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in touch with the Tall Cross Park Allotments Association, and they were just like, oh, bit my hand off straight away. So it's a case that whenever I'm done a brew, the next, either that evening or the next morning, I just take all the spent grain down there and the hops. I've got my own wee section that they've reserved just for Boden brewing, which is really nice. Fill up the bins, and they kind of get enough. It's really good. You know, every time I go back, the bins are empty. So, you know, everyone's using it. I think it's got about 50 plots on it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was, you know, a bit of reciprocity as well. I would get some fruit back or whatever it happens to be, or, you know, things that I could stick in beer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, COVID and all that has destroyed that this year. But yeah, looking for a circular economy, just as much as possible. Just don't send anything to landfill if at all possible. And the, all the gardeners there really appreciate that. And you know, hopefully soon I'll get some produce back to fire in that beer. A wee special one time, you know. I'd like to do. It'd be quite good to do seasonal beers, like one every quarter or something, with the stuff that's come out the allotment. But they're really kind. They just let me tip up at any time and just like fire in a big bin of grain. So that's good.
Awesome.
It's a really good way of doing it, and especially for like small breweries like yourself that, you know, you can rely, I say rely, but, you know, you work within the community that you're in, mm-hmm. that you're able to, you know, I'll put this here, you give me a wee bit back, and we're, yeah. you know. And
how many, there must be a few of the guys with the allotments must have their allotment as a chance to get away at the house and have a couple of beers, so I'm assuming you could do a wee... There's room for a wee honesty shop there or something like that. You can drop in
a couple of guys quid and pick up a couple of bottles. They probably don't spend much time in the history fair, but it'd be quite nice if they not only had a wee special board and brewing section for me to drop off, but also a wee table for me to pick up as well.
That'd be good.
You should start posting notes. I'm wanting to do a pumpkin beer. Leave me some produce again.
I like it. Yeah. That's a great idea, actually.
Tolko's part gets sorted. Come on.
Unbelievable, man. Honestly, you must have, like, can COVID's scuppered all the pubs and everything are shut. So why have you been spending 14 hours a day at the allotment? Not any day with the fact that one of the guys that brings the spent grain to us owns a brewery. Nothing to do with that at all. I would be, if I was the guys that own the allotments, I would be cultivating that relationship with you to the ends of the earth to try and get my allotment bar stocked.
Right.
I think there's lots of wee, you know, actual houses on the allotment, so you see a lot of people spending a lot of time there, man, so I can do a wee beer on as well at the same time.
Yeah, there you go.
Therefore, right, you boys get that Rye Double Eye open, by the way. I want to hear all about it. I'm desperate to hear about it. I'm desperate to hear about it. And while you go and grab that, Eric, Dream Collaborations. Obviously, wow. you've been doing this for a year, year and a half. Small brewery, as you said, the smallest commercial brewery in Scotland, potentially. So you obviously got aspirations of getting slightly bigger. You're obviously looking at a new unit, etc., buying some new equipment. Not a new unit, new equipment, excuse me, I should say. Who would you love, whether it be Glasgow, anywhere, whatever, who would you love to collab with? Apart from us, obviously.
Well, you guys, without question, obviously.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, that's a very hard question. I mean, I think the first time I was aware of like Scottish craft brewery was at a wee farmer's market in the south side of Glasgow, and Jaw Brew were there, and that was like, oh, that's wow, you can do that at such a small scale. And actually, I ended up talking to them for about 40 minutes, and lo and behold, about 6 years later, I'm doing the same thing, albeit on a small scale myself. So that'd be quite cool, you know, as a sort of back to the start quite thing. But I think my favourite Scottish beer at the minute must be still probably Happy Chappy at Cromarty. So, you know, if you guys at Cromarty are listening, I'd be happy to come up and say hello for a day or two. No, that would be great.
I had one of their beers a few weeks back. It was their Man Overboard, their double IPA, which was outstanding. So I'd be keen to get a hold of some more Cromarty stuff.
I think they've just built a brand new brewery as well on site, a sort of double space one with, you know, visitor centre type thing, and, you know, a wee shop on the side. So they're obviously doing very well for themselves, and yeah, it's because they've got great beer.
We'll need to get them on and hook that up. And if you ever want to do a sour, we know a wizard in Glasgow who's good at sours.
The wizard that is Kieran.
Yes.
Kieran the wizard. Right, Cal, are you opened it?
Can I get the top
How
off?
How dark is this, man? Okay. For a double? Fuck me.
Rye, double eye.
Right in your eye. Right, go on then, Cal. Talk us through it, Sam.
So now the pun gun's finished.
Aye.
He's a chance.
Try the
he's
beer.
A chance.
Staring up.
I hate getting put on the spot like that.
Hey, what, so what, Eric, what should be looking for here in this?
Right. It has tons of booze forward flavour. Yeah. No, it's there's a roasted barley in there and a bit of caramel, so it's gonna be quite a malty body, quite heavy, stouty almost body. It's got 10% rye in it, so that's got that nuttiness that's coming at the back. And then
sweet.
It's just got a whole load of hops in the back as well.
But not overly hoppy. Don't get that. It's not too bitter for me. I'm getting sweetness. You get that. You get the rye, definitely. And that's superb, man. And come back to me. I need to have more.
No, it's fine. you have a couple more mouthfuls, mate.
I need a moment with the beer.
me and the beard just need a wee minute here.
And what you guys, what the guys listening don't know is that Callum switched his video off. So I'll leave that up to you.
To be honest with you, I need a wee flake to go with mine.
What have you done there?
Amateur.
Yeah.
I just got a wee bit excited with the pour, that's all.
What have you done there, son? Jeez. So, a question for the three of you. Go on, what you saying?
It's smelling like...
It's on the end of your nose.
Right. Don't snorkle it.
They're a surprise.
Oh, come on. another nose joke.
Getting that sort of continental...
It's wheaty, man. It's like it smells like a hopper later.
It's good. Looks good. Looks the
part. I'm sorry you never got a bottle, Miguel.
It's all right. I got this. I got the IPA. I got the Simcoe.
I get the Simcoe. Oh, hi.
I'm not going to mention what I'm drinking. What did you get, Gil?
I got the
you got the Simcoe Lights?
Got the Simcoe in the New England. I stole the double.
So I think I've come out... Exactly where I should have there, based on my styles.
So the question that I have started there, and this is for you three numpties. Mm-hmm. So a brewery, obviously we've had a discussion with Eric, and we know the kind of size of the brewery and what he's doing and how he's producing the beer. If you guys were drinking this beer, you've had three or four already from Bowden, and then we turned around and went, this is just a one-man band. Would you believe us or not?
No, it's amazing. Like, I kind of believe that. I mean, we've done one brew, and I know how labour-intensive that was, and that was three of us, you know, mucking in and helping out and all the rest of it. For you to do all of this on your own, it's just outrageous. Like, and produce, to be able, and the fact that you're doing back-to-back, and what I've struggled with to comprehend is breweries that are able to reproduce the same beer time after time after time after time, because it's all about, you know, getting the temperatures correct, getting the you know, having the mash for the right amount of time. All these variables can all have an effect on the final product. So the fact that if you're wanting to do a batch of, you know, beer X, you need to do it twice in a row exactly the same. I think it's just incredible that you're able to do that on your own, mate, to be fair.
Thanks very much.
Yes, it's unbelievable. You would never guess that this beer was produced by somebody on their own. The one thing I would say about it, though, that maybe lends some credence to the fact that somebody's done it on their own, is you can tell the person that's done it cares about it. There's a personal kind of vibe to each of the beers that we've tried. You can tell that there's influence there. It's and that sometimes can be lost, I think, when breweries go to a bigger scale and they lose a bit of that. And trying to maintain that and searching that out, we've had it with Top Out, we've had it with a few different other breweries that we've had the Drop Project and things like that we know are small teams. And as small as you are, Eric, that's what comes across in the beer, is that you can tell it's a labour of love. It does it is labour intensive to produce, but for that you get the wee touches like the no filter and things, but getting it the Vienna lager as clear as it can get, the Pilsner's as clear as it can get without having to add any of the commercial level rubbish that strips flavour away, and you can tell that really comes across in the beer. So that's, I would say it's a feat to achieve what you're achieving with the beer, but also you can tell that somebody's putting everything into it, which obviously you only get for having spent 9 or 10 hours with it, having done double brews every evening and weekend that you can manage to squeeze in. So you can tell it's personal. You would never have guessed it was only one person.
We're going to blow your trump up a bit more, mate. Delk?
No, this is really, really tasty. As I say, for me, I get a lot of that sort of European sort of flavouring from it, and it does really come across quite wheat beery to me, and that's obviously with the rye in that, and that sense too. If you don't mind me asking, like, what hops did you use on this bad boy?
So that had Saz, and also had I had Sriracha Ace as well, actually, about that one.
I was going to say, putting you on the spot, because...
Yeah. Saz was all obviously the back end, the bitterness and the classic there, and that's probably where you're getting a wee bit of the European. There's also a wee touch of a bit of orange peel in there as well.
Interesting.
You get definitely, now that you've said
look
that.
Look at his face.
You know what I kept thinking of? Like, I don't mean to dull it down, but see, when you have a pint of the, what is it, the Blue Moon, when mm-hmm. you get the orange in there, that's the styley beer that I'm getting. That styley sort of
that's what I'm
heavy.
It's like wheat beer, kind of
Belgian-y continental, but heft, double or something along the kind of lines.
Mm-hmm. Super lovely.
That is like for me, like out the ones I've had in the lager, the Pilsner was awesome, and like my man Nelson and the one man band was awesome. but like see for this being 8%.
Doesn't it taste 8%?
Nah, this is like the word sessionable comes to mind. Like
Oh no.
I mean
as a good friend.
the word ambulance comes to mind.
I have scooped a couple of quick succession and then decided that it was a bad idea. I'm no able to walk home anywhere.
No.
What's the phrase I'm looking for, McGill? You stand up and
somebody stole the bones at your legs.
Like that.
It's one of them that gets you. Is that a Billy Connolly thing that does that? He says you get drunk to flare up.
you stand up and your legs are pissed.
The rest is all right.
Aye, I tell you what, it's no. But the feeling I'm getting from everything you boys have been saying, great tasting beer. With a story in it, and with somebody who knows what they want from a beer, and it tastes.
Oh, it's different. It's different. I mean, how many times have we said, you know, you go to bottle shops or supermarkets or whatever, and it's IPA, 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 aye. IPA, and the three beers that I've had tonight, the Vienna Lager, the Pilsner, and the Rye Double I.
Mm-hmm.
Rye Double I.
The you're not likely to taste these kind of beers.
Yeah.
That you know, from what I've seen, and they stand out. It's not like the humdrum, you know.
Well, I can't remember the last time you've had a lager on the podcast.
There you go.
Nor have I tried.
It was a big drop.
Because it was alcohol free lager. But I don't think we've had anything rye flavoured on the podcast yet. No, I can't remember. Must have been it was a good few Beer 52 boxes ago, back in those days when we had we last had a rye beer, and I think it must have been a Boston box.
It was a New England box.
I'm sure that we had it in, and that was a long time ago. So rye is something that can be quite divisive, I think, at times. Some people are you know what it's like with bread and things like that. Some people are right into it, and that's all they have, and other people are kind of dead against it. It can be quite divisive like that, but because I would never have picked the two for something that a double rye beer like that. I would never, if I was picking some for you at a beer festival, I would never pick up that beer for you two.
No,
but it's obviously one or two years over, so you're getting hammered with everything, wheat, rye, and everything else going on.
And to be honest with you, if other stuff tastes like this, then I'm in. Like, because I've had wheat beer in the past, and I've just been like, you get halfway down a pint and you think, I've had enough. And I've had a rye beer in the past as well. We've had that red rye?
Red rye.
Red rye, that was the one. And I think I took three mouthfuls of it, and I was like, right, no. And I was like, nah, no for me. And I left it for, an hour to let it heat up and see if it made any difference, and then it wasn't for me. So and that's when you gave me this one on Sunday, I was sort of thinking, right, I'm definitely, obviously I'm going to hand these out to the boys, but that one's staying in my bag.
That's mine. Mark, let's ask the usual question, please.
You want to ask the question?
Oh, I was going to ask it when I was through on Sunday, but I thought I would save it. So I did save. So normally, every brewery we have on, I ask the exact same question, because I'm hunting someone to make me, or us, like, to collab with us doing a Battenberg style beer.
So, Battenberg style beer. So like marzipan, bingo. Pink sponge, white sponge, vanilla.
Yeah.
Is the pink one orange flavoured?
Alright, so orange and
I think it's vanilla and it's sponged together with apricot jam.
Basically what I'm thinking is, we either have to tackle this as a pastry stout.
Or you just need to tackle it at all.
Or you need to tackle it, shut up Gav, as like a sour of some kind.
Or a Batten barley wine, man. I think maybe that's where you need to go, a Batten barley wine, I think.
Bingo! Have a winner!
that's a traditional view, that's a new one. That's a new take, Batten barley wine.
So, basically, what I'm saying is,
when are you making it?
I'm doing the recipe right now, actually.
My man.
I'm not sure that that's going to be a good beer. If you bring along some Battenberg cake and do some labelling, I'll make a Battenberg beer with you.
if you bring Callum's kettle, so that he doesn't have to use that stuff, and prepare to bottle for at least a fortnight. Batten barley wine.
Mate, I was through on Sunday. I know where you stay, so I'm in.
I'm in.
I know where you live.
Unbelievable.
You're the first brewery to go, don't think it's a good idea. Everyone's like, maybe. Given a plot of cancer, and it's like, nah, shite, mate.
I think the last time I had Battenberg, it must have been about 5 or something. So I don't even remember what it tastes like, to be fair.
That's the thing. It's something that, it's like one of these wee family things for me. Like, to be fair, it totally reminds me of my gran and that. But I've never seen it, and we've talked about Bakewell tarts, and we've had Bakewell sours, and all these kind of weird and wonderful stuff that have kind of shown up in beers.
So this is the hill that you're going to die on, isn't it?
Look, we're close to what we're about 100.
Oh, he's got property on Marzipan Island. That's 100. Island. Yeah. He's bought property.
I'm
building a hotel. He's got a hotel.
Heavy invested. Heavy.
I have to. But I'll just come through. I'll just ransack the nearest like Tesco, and I'll just come through and we'll be 300 Battenbergs, and we'll just toss them in the kettle and see what happens.
Bring a camera as well, because all the pictures for the labels are within about 300 metres of the front door of the brewery.
Just go and take a dump and take a picture of your dump, because that's what it's going to be.
Look, you know, you've all made fun of this. One day, somebody's just going to say, Mark, that's a genius idea, right? We're going to do that. And
well, until that day.
Until that
day. We'll continue to laugh.
True.
We'll continue to take the piss out of it every single week. We have a...
Go, Eric, can we get a hold of your beer? Where can we get a hold of your beer? Tell us.
Really only local to the East End and South Side of Glasgow at the minute. I will be listing some stuff on Ebury at some point towards the end of the year. So, there as well. And if you do get involved with any of the ones on the South Side, they do home delivery in and around Glasgow too. So it's quite, I mean, you're going to struggle to get it out with Glasgow. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
No, but the thing is,
But hopefully online towards the end of the year.
Yeah. Imagine at the end of the year, I'll be listing some stuff.
Cool.
So you should be able to get it there too.
But before we said it before we started recording, with breweries like yourself, it's very much a kind of Pokemon mentality. If you need to catch it all, so you need to go and travel to get your stuff. And from what the guys are saying, top quality gear, need to grab it. You can head to bodenbrewery.co.uk. You can also head to the Instagram and Twitter pages. Instagram is at Bodenbrew Beer, and Twitter, excuse me, is bodenbrewing as well. Make sure you follow them and you can get updates on where you can grab the beers. I'm pretty sure the guys would thoroughly recommend.
Absolutely.
I let the wife taste the Pilsner, and she's like, oh, that's beautiful. I'm like, I might just have to order a wee case of that for whenever we have, I was going to say whenever we have people round, but that's
never.
Three years' time.
When we go back to Zoom quizzes.
See you in
2020. That's so short-lived world, wasn't it? Goodness for that, man.
We did it. We did it for 2 weeks, and we're like, nah, aye, I'm fed up. I'm literally like, fed up with your face. Can't be dealing with your face too many times. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so make sure you head over to bodenbrew.co.uk. Visit Instagram and Twitter, Boden Brew Beer and Boden Brewing. And you'll get too many bees in there for me. And you can get all the latest information where you can grab the beers. Thoroughly recommend you go and grab them. The boys, three of them, are saying yes.
Bingo.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Go and get it. It's worth a trip to Glasgow. Beautiful place.
Wherever you are, even you, Gav, come up to Glasgow.
It doesn't matter as and when you're allowed to travel again. Boring. But as and when travel is allowed, go and pick some up, because it's well worth it.
100%. Eric, thanks for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been a different insight from brews we've had on before on a bigger scale, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been awesome. The guys have enjoyed the beer. Mark's already eyeing up his next one.
There he is.
Oi, Savaloy. As always, the Beer Fridge podcast is sponsored by Beer 52, beer52.com /beer fridge. You can get 8 craft beers, award winning Ferment magazine, and the all important beer52.com/beer fridge. I'm sponsored by This Week in Craft.beer. Head to thisweekincraft.beer, sign up to the weekly newsletter, get the new news on the craft beer industry and the latest beer list as well. Head to thisweekincraft.beer and join the mailing list. As always, head to our Instagram, Facebook and Twitter pages. Just search Beer Fridge Podcast, and head over to our YouTube page, subscribe and hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified about the new I nearly said movies. Why did I keep going to say movies? All the new videos that we put up on our YouTube page. It's been another fantastic episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. And until next time, goodbye.